Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you join us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to your dialogue and discussion, your input, your questions, and your comments as we face the issues today. Later in the broadcast, we'll be introducing our special guest, one of the mayoral candidates for the city of Jacksonville. Looking forward to that dialogue and discussion with him. But first of all, let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's the truth book. Jesus says to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." And further in John 17:17, declaration is made, "Thy word is truth." It's the truth of the Word of God. And then in Psalms 117, verse 2, the Bible says the truth of the Lord endures forever. So we need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that is the source book that we go to for truth. It is not recognized today as being relevant. In fact, truth is denied and disbelieved today, especially in the Beltway in Washington and much of our nation today, especially over the past few days after the raid of President Trump's home in Mar-a-Lago. There's a mindset somehow, some way, that truth, ethics, values, the rule of law does not apply to those that's in charge in the Beltway in Washington today. We'll be talking about that. We'll be looking at a subject that will lead into our dialogue and discussion with our mayoral candidate. We're talking about today the deep state at war with America. The deep state at war with America. But ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, you can call in. Your dialogue and discussion is invited. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. If you're tuned in by way of the internet, that's 904-831-0917. There's a lot lacking today when it comes to the search for truth. It was the secularist George Orwell that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And you find those, ladies and gentlemen, that are conservative candidates for office, whether it's local, state, or national, when they stand on the box of truth, that is the truth of the Word of God, when they stand up and speak truth, it is dissed, denied, rejected by multitudes today, especially, as I call it, the loose, lax, lost left that's wanting to destroy and undermine and tear down America. We need to recognize the need today to stand for truth. This is the reason I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death." That's my challenge each and every day, ladies and gentlemen, on this broadcast, is that we do exactly that. That we seek the truth, and it's not found on Communist Network News. Listen to the truth. It's not found on most media outlets today. Learn the truth, and you find the truth that's to be learned is from the Word of God. And love the truth. Be willing to tell the truth and to live it. And then, ladies and gentlemen, the apex of that statement, defend the truth even to death. Now, there are a lot of folks that will not defend the truth because they seem to feel that they're alone. And out on the limb, as some would call it, but regardless of whether we stand alone or stand with others, truth is truth, and we need to stand for truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, has the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about backup power equipment. Tools for Time staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old San Augustine Road, right here in the heart of Mandarin. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, 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 there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions: house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It is a family-friendly, oriented environment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing all of the staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word intends for the Christian to do. Ladies and gentlemen, just drop by Tools for Time. Make an application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does, placing you in the home, the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you once again, I forget it often, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Today, ladies and gentlemen, our nation, hear me, our nation is still in a state of shock, full of amazement over the unconstitutional, unmerited, first time in the history of America, FBI raid on the home of a former president, or on the home of a president seated. They raided Donald Trump's home in Mar-a-Lago, Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, all the socialist, Marxist, communists that are on the left, they are excited about it. They're in jubilation over it. In fact, one anchor on MSNBC said gleefully, quote, will the next thing we see be Trump in an orange jumpsuit, end quote. Frankly, ladies and gentlemen, I'm in agreement with the Florida State Representative Anthony Sabatino. Sabatino says this. I like what he says. He says, sever all ties. Lawmaker urges state to arrest FBI agents upon sight. This is dated August the 9th. Florida Republican Florida Representative Anthony Sabatino called for the state to arrest FBI agents conducting law enforcement outside of Florida's purview and to sever ties with the Department of Justice on Monday. It's time for us in Florida legislature to call an emergency session and amend our law regarding federal agencies, Sabatini wrote in the wake of the FBI's raid on Donald Trump's Florida residence at Mar-a-Lago. Sever all ties with the DOJ immediately. Any FBI agent conducting law enforcement functions outside of the purview of the state of Florida should be arrested upon sight. Many Republicans, this article continues, many Republicans have described the raid on President Trump's residence as a politically motivated abuse of power. He said state legislators needed to put pressure on the FBI by limiting local agencies' cooperation with them and by requiring them to seek permission from the state before conducting operations in the state of Florida. State legislators need to ban interlocal agreements between state and local law enforcement and the FBI and require that the FBI get Florida's permission before conducting any operation within our state. That's Anthony Sabatini. And I am in full agreement with that statement, ladies and gentlemen. I think it is in error for a state to allow the feds to come in. I call them thugs with badges, come in and carry out an operation without the state officials knowing it and placing a stamp of approval on it. It should not be done on a surreptitious surprise basis in the state, and especially in the state of Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, agents conducting the enforcement outside of Florida's purview should have some reckoning for the state of Florida's control. It is evident, ladies and gentlemen, that we've now politicized the DOJ, the FBI, the CDC, IRS, NIH, FDA, and all of the other three-letter acronym agencies in America. It seems that we've politicized and weaponized them, ladies and gentlemen. And all of our different agencies seem to be standing on its head with the left liberals in charge with no governmental oversight by the House, because the House is part and parcel of the problem. It's evident, ladies and gentlemen, these federal agencies are operating without oversight and with political agendas. Political agendas. I'm looking at an article that says, U.S. corrupt at a level never seen before in American history. Trump's home raided by the FBI. Nothing like this has ever happened to a president of the United States before, President Trump said in a statement. After working and cooperating with the relevant governmental agencies, this unannounced raid on my home was not necessary or appropriate. Trump's estate, Mar-a-Lago, is located in Palm Beach, Florida, Florida's governor. Florida's governor, Representative Republican Ron DeSantis, tweeted that the raid was another escalation in the weaponization of federal agencies against the regime's political opponents, while people like Hunter Biden get treated with kid gloves. Quote, such an assault could only take place in a broken third world country, President Trump added. Sadly, America has now become one of those countries corrupt at a level never seen in history. They even broke into my safe, he said. What is the difference between this and Watergate, with operatives where operatives broke into the Democratic National Committee headquarters? Ladies and gentlemen, one article reads, supposed to be the last resort. Here's a seminal statement by an expert in the field, Dershowitz. Dershowitz, Alan Dershowitz, is a constitutional attorney. He is a professor at Harvard Law School, and he says this. I'm reading the headline. Supposed to be the last resort, Dershowitz hammers Biden's raid on Trump's home. Longtime liberal Harvard Law professor Alan Dershowitz, a recognized expert on the Constitution and America's law, says this week's raid by the Biden administration on President Trump's home is an example of the Democrats' improper use of government power against its political opponents. Quote, a raid is supposed to be the last resort, but this administration has used the weaponization of the justice system against its political enemies. The raid represents a dramatic and unprecedented escalation of law enforcement scrutiny of the former president. Dershowitz pointed out that Biden administration has done what they have done already. It's arrested people, denied them bail, put them in handcuffs, used all kinds of techniques that are not usually applied to American citizens, and I just hope this raid has a justification. If it doesn't have a justification, the material seized in this will all be suppressed. Dershowitz said the law is clear. Quote, you don't engage in a raid unless you've exhausted all other remedies, unless you believe that the person raided will destroy the evidence, end quote. Dershowitz, appearing on the Fox News, said, based on what we know, it was totally unjustified. Even one FBI agent would have been too many. The whole process was wrong, and Trump was away at the time, so they can't say that he was about to destroy anything. Another constitutional expert, Jonathan Turley, told Fox News, the Presidential Records Act is not commonly a subject of criminal prosecution. Even in the most egregious cases, these incidents have generally been handled administratively. And he goes on to talk about the usurpation of the power and authority through the FBI and the DOJ that is not allocated to them under these circumstances. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I've introduced the broadcast today with a recap of what we've seen taking place. In fact, with these FBI agents, let me just give a little summary. Then we'll trickle down to where we're going with the introduction of our special guest today. The FBI agents, 30 of them, appeared on the scene of the home of the residence of former President Donald J. Trump, Mar-a-Lago, Palm Beach, Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, the former President Donald J. Trump is always protected with the Secret Service agents. Secret Service agents were there on the scene. They were ordered to stand down. When the president heard this was taking place, his attorneys were expedited to go there. President Trump's attorneys were ordered to stay outside, standing in the hot sun, not allowed to go inside even for a respite of cool air. Everyone was ordered to stand down and remain out of sight. They ripped the house apart, even going through Melania's wardrobe of clothing. Now, President Trump had already been in communication with the DOJ over a period of about 10 months because of about 15 boxes, some say 12 and others say 15, boxes of documents that were packed up by the people at the White House. He did not do it. He did not. His staff did not do it. The Office of General Accounting did so, the office that scheduled and responsible for the transition of president's material. They packed it. It was shipped to Mar-a-Lago. President Trump had maintained it. And now, all of a sudden, after they couldn't succeed in an impeachment the second time, they've tried to find something to hang their hat on that could get him disqualified for the presidential race in 2024. So they made a determination that we're just simply going in and take those boxes, notwithstanding the fact that President Trump, through his attorneys, had been cooperative for about 10 months with the DOJ, doing all they asked, going through. In fact, FBI agents and representatives from the Department of Justice had already been to his home earlier this year. They'd reviewed everything in those boxes. They didn't seize anything, take anything, say they wanted anything. This was an excuse, ladies and gentlemen. It was the hook that you used to get in his home. And listen very carefully. They were not looking for those documents. They were looking for anything that they might be able to go pour over and claim that he has a responsibility in January the 6th for what they're calling the insurrection. This is the backdoor hook that's used to search his home and to try to get some evidence, to try to find him guilty of something. We're in a land, ladies and gentlemen, where you're considered innocent until proven guilty. And what we're doing now, we've had the whole hunting operation to try to find some way to hang President Trump and to destroy his future responsibility and possibility of president of America. So, ladies and gentlemen, it is important that we recognize that this is taking place and we're in an election cycle. This year, next year, getting ready for the 2024 election, ladies and gentlemen, we're in an election cycle, locally, statewide, and nationally. In fact, our early voting started day before yesterday in Duval County, and it starts as of today, I believe, in the balance of the state of Florida, early voting. And in this voting process, ladies and gentlemen, we have the responsibility as citizens, as conservatives, as Christians, as patriots, we have the responsibility to be aware of what we're doing in casting our ballot. And ladies and gentlemen, God's word, the Bible, gives us very, very clear evidence of what we should do. I call it God's election guide. In Exodus chapter 18, verse 21, moreover, thou shalt provide out of thee, out of all the people, able men, such as fear God, men of faith, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers by the thousands, rulers by the hundreds, rulers by the fifties, and rulers by the tens. Ladies and gentlemen, that's talking about able men that have capability and that are competent to carry out the task, such as fear God. That's men that reverence God, and respect God, and honor God and God's word. Men of truth, the scripture says. That means having a reputation of known to be honest, reliable men, that's trustworthy men. Hating covetousness, that is not grasping and not greedy, not searching for a paycheck out of the public trough, but wanting to serve God and serve mankind and serve the citizens in the area that they are in. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the kind of candidates that we need to search for and look for. Those, ladies and gentlemen, that are wanting to honor God in their service for our country. Yet, ladies and gentlemen, many times we find the far-reaching results. And what we're finding today in America with the administration that's there, we've got Joe Biden, which his party stole the election. He is an unelected, illegal candidate president sitting in the Oval Office. Now, some might disagree with that. That's fine. But that is the end result. We're watching the end result of the election cycle in 2020. And may I say to you, I am frightened to death of the potentiality of that being the election cycle that we'll see in 2022 through 2024 if we're not very, very careful. Our early voting has already started, ladies and gentlemen. We have those that are candidates for the offices. And may I say, in some of these early voting primaries that we're having leading up to then the voting in November, we need to be very, very careful in vetting the candidates. Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted today to have a candidate that I believe meets the qualification of the biblical text in God's election guide in Exodus chapter 18, verse 21. May I say to you, as we introduce our special guest today, Al Ferrero. Al Ferrero, I believe, is the best candidate for the mayor for the city of Jacksonville. Al, welcome to Let's Face the Issues today. Thank you for taking time out of your busy, busy schedule, basically like riding a treadmill, trying to get your work done and carrying out your campaign. Thank you for taking that time to be with us today.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood, for having me on. It's very important, and I appreciate everything that you're doing in our community and speaking the Lord's word.
I am so thankful for what you're doing, brother. First of all, let me ask you to do this. You've heard my monologue statements. You've heard what I've said in relationship to the recent events, the unconstitutional, unprecedented raid on President Trump's home by the FBI. What are your thoughts on, what's your take on what has taken place there?
So I think what we have an establishment that's in here, and I think they're trying to send a message that if we can do this to the president, any elected official is a free target. And I think that's the message that's being sent out. You know, I'm not surprised to see this. I'm just surprised at the speed that they're going. They obviously do not want the president to run. They know that if he gets into office, he is going to clean the swamp. You know, here's part of the establishment, which is establishment slash swamp, is when you have liberals and you have rhinos, that's what equals the establishment and swamp. A lot of times people just aren't keeping up with politics because they're working so many jobs to try to keep ends meet. But the establishment is in charge. That is the one who's in charge, and that is a form of liberals and rhinos. And we see it in local government, and we see it in the federal side. So that message that was sent out, what they did to President Trump, was anybody's game. If you're going to run for this office, this can happen to you.
It's exactly what I see. And I believe, as I said earlier in the monologue, we're watching it come to play that they're going to pull any trick in the book that's possible in order to get him counted as ineligible to run for president in 2024. And I believe they knew that in advance. They've tried everything. In fact,
we don't know if they planted something. They may have planted something later.
Absolutely. In fact, Al, I'm glad you mentioned that. I've said by them taking the boxes and under the letter of the law, when a seizure is made like that through a raid, the warrant authorizing it should tell what room it's supposed to be found in, what you're projected to find, and then that is the focus. That is the narrow focus point of that warrant, and they should make sure they have that. You can't just go in and scoop up boxes that you don't know what's in them and take them all out and indiscriminately just package them up. What could be put in there after they left the office, Trump's home? What can they add to that repertoire of material in the box and claim that it was put there by President Trump? That's my fear, right? Also. And
what could they have planted in his home? Devices. You're talking about the highest technology in the world in our country and having the FBI and the surveillance of what they have to where the president, his family, could probably not do anything in that home without somebody listening or watching what they're doing.
That's right. Exactly. In fact, I project that's probably the reason Trump has not gone back to occupy his home and is staying in his one of his homes in another state as a result of that. Al, let me ask you to do this. I've heard you before. Some of our listeners have, some may not have. Let me ask you to take just a few moments, reintroduce yourself, tell our audience who you are, why you're running, why you're seeking the office of mayor of the city of Jacksonville.
Well, thank you again. My name is Al Ferrero. I'm the sitting council member for District 2. I am running for mayor for a variety. variety of reasons. But one of the things is when I came into office, I wanted to do what most people do when they run for office, is just try to make our community better, try to get our roads, our infrastructure, try to get things fixed that, you know, you look and you say, I could do a better job than what's getting done. So I ran for office. My first term, that's exactly what I did. I put more roads and repaving and infrastructure in, getting ditches cleaned, kind of the basic things that you think a city council member would do, hearing complaints that needed to be resolved. During the second term, that was the biggest change of all. You know, we had the civil unrest, we had the pandemic, we had the sale of JEA. We had a lot of things on our plates that were changing our city. And I saw things that I just felt were corrupt. I thought they were the things that I would not want to see. And the whole reason I got into running for office was to try to make my city a better place. And I wanted my kid, when she graduated, to come back to where it was a better city, you know, like the Scouts Honor, to make it better than you found it. And that's not the way it was going. There's too much corruption going on. You can see it in the things that we are passing on bills of what people are getting. It's almost like these elected officials are there to enrich themselves. And they used to do that and do their job. But now it seems like it's more of enriching themselves and their friends than getting the things done. I mean, you can actually see that with our city. It's trash everywhere. Roads are in terrible condition. Trash isn't getting picked up. Everybody who's running for office has a nonprofit where they're getting taxpayer funding. The list goes on and on. So I thought, as a council member, I'd be able to fix some of those things. And you can't get people to go along with you on things that you're trying to fix up if they're part of the system. So the only way I'd be able to fix that is become mayor. And that's the only way you're going to be able to fix this city from the top down. So I do believe in transparency, honesty, integrity, all the things that you hear people talk about but not really do it. I have a record. I challenge people to look at what I'm doing, see who I am, because I will be like President Trump on a smaller scale. I will have people who are going to run against me, who are going to have a lot more money, who are going to be able to make up those stories. But I have a record. I've won in grassroots before, where I got out and explained what I'm doing and the issues that are important to the community. I've always had the community's back. And I think in this case, it's going to be different in this election than any other cycle, to where people are going to have the back of the elected official who's running, because I'm more of a representative than I am a politician. So I hope that gives you my 2-minute stump speech.
Well, you called it a stump speech. When I walked the hallways in the Capitol building, the Senate, and the office building in Tallahassee, and I found representatives, we usually say, as we're on the elevator, give me your elevator speech. Between floors, you've got to explain what you want because of their schedule. And so it's the elevator speech. But I am thankful to hear that. One of the things that I have a question on that you might be able to respond to: do you think that it is beneficial, and I'm asking this out of background experience and seeing what Trump, when Trump went into the office, for example, he did not clean house. He just took on about 4,100 in the State Department, old Passover handovers from the previous administrations. Is it possible, and I'm just asking a hypothetical question because of so many years of background in professional life and ministry, is it possible for a person to come in that's wanting to clean the swamp, make things straight, do things right, is it possible to come in and think that can be accomplished with the leftovers from previous administrations, layer after layer after layer? Or is it wise to simply say to everybody, turn in your resignation, let me re-interview and rehire those that I want to keep? What is your thoughts on that? It could be a landmine question, not meaning for it to be. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I have some specific things that I'm trying to get done. And in those instances, if they're not working, if they haven't been working in the past, if I can't find where they've been working, and a lot of them haven't, then I'm open for new ideas. So my goals are going to be very specific to crime.
Al, hang on to your thoughts for just a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We've got about a 1-minute top of the hour news break. We'll be right back as we continue our conversation with Al Ferraro, the conservative candidate for the mayor of Jacksonville.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.